Amen. God bless you. You know, all this year, right since back to January, so 11 months ago, or 10 months ago, we've been studying on this subject of wisdom. And just to refresh you, and to remind you the subjects we have studied, we looked at, with the start of looking at walking in wisdom, and we took a series going through Proverbs and seeing how we can walk in wisdom. Then, as a result of walking in wisdom, we looked at the subject of taking rest. You know, we can rest in wisdom, knowing that we have heard the voice of God. And more recently, we're looking at this subject of humility. And last week, we just finished that subject, that topic about humility. And I want to continue tonight, and as the Lord leads, and the time I have until the end of this year, just continuing again to look at another area of wisdom. And this time, more specifically with hearing from God. How we can hear from God. Now, the title of my studies isn't hearing from God, but it's actually tuning in to God. Now, a few weeks ago, I was scrolling through some comments on Facebook and social media, and I saw a couple of posts which were related to this theme of tuning in. And I posted a couple onto my own page, and actually it got me thinking. And I want to, just before we get into the scriptures tonight, to tell you a little story from my young days, when I was just a young boy. Now, when I grew up, I was born in the west part of London, in the UK. And I know it's a small city in the south of England, if you don't know where it is. Okay, I felt that. I was born in West London. And actually, I was born very close to Heathrow Airport. And our house where we lived, in the area where we lived, actually was right underneath one of the flight paths coming into Heathrow. And if the wind was blowing in a certain direction, and when it actually blew in that direction, that normally meant we got rain as well. But whenever it was blowing in this certain direction, the planes would land or come in right over the top of our house where we lived. Now, as a young boy, I was interested in the planes. Obviously, I lived close to the airport. I had these planes coming over our house. You might say I was a very keen plane spotter. And I would watch these planes come in from all parts of the globe. Now, we're not talking about a little airport which only does European routes. As you probably are aware, Heathrow is one of the major global airports. So we had planes coming from all over, every corner of the globe, and they would fly over our house. And I used to sit in the garden and just watch these planes come. And a lot of the planes, I don't know whether they still do, but they used to have their registration marks on the underneath of the wings and also on the side of the fuselage. And I could see with my naked eye these registration marks. And I used to record them, I used to write them down. That was one of the things I did, my hobby. I had a little book with every plane that was likely to come into the UK. And if I saw the plane, I would mark it in the book. I saw it on this particular day, which airport I saw it at, or where I was when I saw it. So I used to write all these down in this little book. And I used to, not only did I spend time at the house, but I used to go over the airport as well. Even as a young boy, it was, in those days, it was quite safe for me as a 9-year-old to get on a bus and go to the airport. And perhaps they won't do it today. not at that age. But I used to do this. I used to go with my friends over the airport. On occasions, I used to go with my uncle on my mother's side, because he was exactly the same. I'd go with him to Gatwick Airport, which was a long bus ride away for us. But this was my hobby. And my hobby became much more interesting one Christmas when, I think it was my father, he bought me a shortwave radio. And with this radio, it was an old radio, not one of these digital things that you get today, but it had a tune and dial. And not like a CB, no. But I used to tune, if I tuned this radio in exactly to where I wanted, I could actually tune into the cockpit and the control tower.
Wow.
Because you could do it in those days. I think it's illegal now to access that. But you could tune this radio in shortwave, and you could hear the conversation between the pilot and the control tower. And that made it much more because you knew which planes were coming in, you knew as they arrived, and you could hear their conversation. But this radio, it had to be tuned in precise. Just one notch out. And all you got was static noise. It's the same. So I remember my grandfather telling me in days gone by, he used to tell me of the days when they had the old radiogram in the house and they would tune in to listen to the news broadcasts or the broadcasts on the radio. And says, and these were things, and they had to be finely tuned. Or he would tell me of his joys of making, now these, I don't really understand him, he'd tell me that an old crystal set, maybe some of the those that remember crystal sets were not appreciated. But he said he used to have to tune this thing in precisely. If it wasn't precise, you didn't hear anything. But if it was finely tuned, everything was clear. It was, I could hear the cockpit when I was finely tuned in. I could also.
It's quite the same.
I could.
The same crystal.
Probably. I could also get the police, but that's another matter. But get their radio.
Yeah.
But if we want to be, if we're tuned in precisely, we get a clear signal. And it's the same with the things of God. When we're praying and talking, unless we're tuned in, we won't hear from heaven. Just one notch out, and everything becomes fuzzy. And we can't hear a thing. We get all, just one slight deviation, we get all the static noise of the world. And it's this thought, I believe, that King Solomon was talking about when he wrote in the Proverbs. So if you come with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Now, I don't think he wasn't talking about radio. Because they didn't have it. Well, I say they didn't have it. They had radio, but they had no way to receive it. Because God created the sound waves. And actually, do you know when God created the sound waves? The sound waves were created on the very first day of creation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light gives us sound. Light gives us all these things. And that's another study when it comes to, I like to teach on worship as well, and that's...
Now there's an app, isn't there, where the tractor planes coming over.
Hey, yes.
You know exactly where they're going.
I've got an app on my tablet here, which does the same.
Yeah.
But now in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 20, listen to what he's saying. He's talking here, he's not talking about picking up on a radio signal, he's talking about tuning in to God. Because he says here in Proverbs 4 verse 20, he says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, in this verse, just, and it goes on, it's a, one of my favorite portions of scripture, this one. But here in this verse, is one verse, verse 20, twice he says the same thing. Almost, I think it's because he wants to just emphasize this and underline it, almost like putting a yellow highlighter pen on top of it. He's saying, look, he says, my son, he says, I've got something important to say to you. He says, attend to my words. Give your attention, take note, mark well, listen and hear what I've got to say to you. That's what that word attend means. Pay full attention. That means when we are listening to what God says, we're not thinking about something else. We're not thinking about work. We're not thinking about cooking the meal. We're not thinking about the little jobs that need to be done. We're not thinking about anything else other than what God has to say to us. Give attention, or pay attention to what I have to say. Give attention to my words. Then he says this, almost like to emphasize that. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. This word incline literally means to bend towards, or to stretch out. Stretch your ear so you can hear what I'm saying. Bend it towards me.
In one piece it say, just literally take it and...
That's it. Bend your ear towards.
And the original, it says, sorry, Meyer. It means Meyer, just totally give it to Adirada.
Uh-huh. Incline your ear to my sayings. What, you know what this is? It's tune in. That's what he's telling you to do. Tune in. It's don't let that... Now, it's easy to tell on today's digital radios because you get the number and you can put the number in. But, you know, on the dial, when you've only got... I don't know what it is. My one, or my FM tune, if I remember, it used to run in twos. Used to run from somewhere like 80, then it went 82, 84, 86, 88, 90, through to about 110, I think it was. So they went in twos, and you had to get exactly in between, because, you know, the radio things, they don't broadcast on exact. You know, it's something like 95.7 or something like that. And you have to really tune it in. And this is what Solomon's saying. He says, get tuned in to what I've got to say to you. Obviously, this is the Lord speaking through him. He said, tune in to what I have to say to you. Now, this was a problem that God's people had. And we're going to just look at a verse in a moment in the book of Samuel. But very few heard what God was saying. There were some in the generations after the Exodus. There were people like Moses, who was tuned into God. Joshua was another one. He heard the voice of God. And there were a few others. But on the whole, men weren't hearing what God was saying. You have a few of the judges that listened to God. But, as we say, on the whole, men were not hearing what God was saying. And we have a scripture in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm just going to go to the first verse. Now, in this third chapter of 1 Samuel, it opens up with a statement about Samuel. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And it says this, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." And listen to this next statement. It says, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no widespread revelation. Now, I've just said that not many people were hearing what God was saying. This scripture here tells us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Now, I don't believe that God wasn't speaking. I believe people weren't tuned in. They weren't listening to what he was saying. Because there were the few that were hearing from God. So it wasn't so much that God's word wasn't available, which is what you might think by reading that. That God had just given up on humanity and allowing them to carry on and get on with it. No, God was still speaking. The problem was that men weren't listening to what he was saying. They weren't tuned in to the Spirit of God. Now, if you talk to some Christians, you'll find that actually there's quite a lot of them that get quite suspicious. If you start saying something like, "Well, the Lord was speaking with me," or "I heard God speak," "God was saying this," they get quite suspicious of people like that. Why? Because they are not hearing God themselves. In actual fact, I'll go the other way. I was actually, we should be careful about those who don't hear from God. We should be very wary on those people that do not hear God speaking. Now, let me clarify something. I'm going to clarify this in a minute. This doesn't mean that we are not hearing an audible voice. Because when we talk about hearing from God, a lot of people are waiting for God to bellow out of heaven and so that they can hear it ringing in their ears. No, that's not the way God necessarily speaks. He may choose to do that. But they are very rare occasions. So if we're not hearing from God, I would be very suspicious. Because if we're not hearing from God, that either means, or it probably means we're not listening to what God is saying. Because God is always speaking. God, the word of God is readily available for us. And if we're not hearing what he's saying, actually there is a problem. Because Jesus went on to say this three times in John's Gospel chapter 10. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." John, there's three scriptures. John 10 verse 3. Then again in verse 16. And then again in verse 27. So three times in John 10. Verse 3, verse 16, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Are you his sheep?
Yes.
Well, then you should be hearing the voice of God.
Yes.
If you're not hearing the voice of God, either you're not his sheep or you're not listening. So, now, we've just read that we should incline our ear. We should tune our ears to his sayings so that we can hear from him. So let's answer this question. How then do we hear from God? Now, I have just said, and I will say this again, I will clarify, just because we are not hearing a loud, clear voice speaking to us, like you're hearing my voice at this moment, we may not ever hear God speak to us in that fashion. That doesn't mean we're not hearing from God. And again, as I said, and I'll repeat it again, actually to hear that sort of voice is very rare. Or, as I had somebody once say to me, actually it was to me and my father together, they were waiting for some angel to come and announce and proclaim that this is the word of God. If you never see an angel in your life or you ever hear an angel, you're in the majority. Why? Because they are very rare. Having visions or dreams that are telling you what to do. Again, not the normal way God communicates with his people. So if you don't ever have a vision or a dream, don't worry about it. As I said, we need to be wary of those. If somebody comes to you and says that they are having dreams and they're having visions and they're seeing angels and they're hearing God's voice and this is happening on a regular basis, I'd be very wary of them.
Yeah.
But it happens. Because more often than not, this will be coming from themselves. Because God does not speak to his people. He can do, but not regularly like that. These are very rare occurrences.
Especially when any of the Bible is discussed.
We are told in the scriptures that when we have these things like dreams, visions, and we hear prophetic words spoken, and we hear a voice coming from heaven, but we are to judge these spirits. So let us turn to that scripture to read it in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John, the first epistle of John, the first letter of John, right at the back of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Right at the back. So at the end of the New Testament. That's it. It's on the page. On the page. Yes. That's it. You was on it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. There it is. Okay, we have it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And this is what John writes. I want you to remember this apostle, the apostle John, because we're going to look at him in a minute. And listen, remember what he says here, because it's relevant to what's coming up. He says, we are to test or judge the spirits that they come from God. So what does he say? He says, beloved. He's talking to the church. Beloved. He's talking to the people of God. And he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It is your responsibility as a born-again child of God to check and test the things you hear, whether that comes from another person, whether it's from reading a book of a great author, whether it's what you hear, and listen carefully, what you hear the pastor preaching from the pulpit. Your responsibility is to check what he says, what they say, what the books say, what these angels say, if you hear an angel speaking to you. What the prophets say. Check what they say. Test the spirits. See whether they are God. See whether they conform to what God is saying in his word. Don't just take it because it comes from a well-known preacher that is what the scripture says. Don't just take it. Now, in our church, we preach what the word of God says. But still, don't take what we say without checking. Because I might make a mistake. I might say something that's not in the word of God. I won't do it intentionally. But I might make a mistake one day. You still, don't just take what I say as the truth. Check what I'm saying is actually what it says. Whatever anybody said, what you read. If you're into reading books, and I love books, you read books, you read the great authors, check what they... Don't just take their word for it. Check. Go to the scriptures and check it.
That's why you put the scriptures on the other.
Yes. When somebody comes and says to you, brother or sister, I've got a word from the Lord for you, check it with the Word of God. Don't just say, oh, sister so-and-so gave this prophecy of me, so it's got... Check it. Test the spirits to see whether they are of God. You have a dream, a vision. Check that it's in line with what God says. Don't just take it as said. You know, this, because this is the first and foremost way God speaks to us. This is the benchmark by which we check and test the spirits. The Word of God, the written Word. When we say God speaks to us, or whenever I say when I say I've heard from God, it's because I've read something in the scriptures and it's been illuminated and come alive to me. That is God speaking to me. That is God speaking to you. This is the first and most basic way that God speaks to us. And for some people, this will be the only way He will ever speak to you. That doesn't mean you are second class because you've not had an angelic visitation. Doesn't mean that you are any less than anybody else because you haven't heard an audible voice. If you're getting what you need from God and He's speaking to you from His Word, this is the best way. Do you know what it says in the scriptures? You know this scripture very well, but let's go to it again. Turn up Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I know you know the verse and you can quote it without looking at it, but I want you to see it written down. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Have you got it, Jess?
Yeah.
Nice and loud, read it out so we can hear. Romans 10, 17.
Ultimately, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ, but Word of Christ to hear.
Okay, good. Read it again.
Ultimately, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ.
Faith? Okay, let's try a little. I know we've got different translations, but let's try a little extra. Let's read this all together, so we actually see for ourselves that what it is saying in this verse. It says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, the Word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing the message of a preacher. Now, unless he's preaching the Word of God, of course. It doesn't say faith comes from reading a book. It doesn't come from hearing the angels speak. It doesn't come from visions and dreams. It comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, if what they're saying is the Word of God, then faith will come. Faith comes by hearing.
Can I ask it?
That's a good question.
God has spoken to me through verses of hymns.
Absolutely. It's another way.
Yes. It's not necessarily directly through the scripture, but I mean,
the
hymn will be inspired.
Yes,
it's inspired from the Word of God.
Yeah. There is a sense in which... you learn by experience to listen to the Word.
Yes.
But Jesus is the Word.
He is the Word.
Yeah.
It's the same. Okay, well,
Faith comes by hearing the Word. Hearing the Word of God. Not the popular preacher of the day. Or some other way. Unless, of course, as what they are saying and proclaiming is. But then it's your responsibility to check that. Then faith will come. Now, remember we said, John said, test the spirits. Okay, let's go to John. Not to John. Let's go and look at an occasion where John was involved in something. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. I've got to keep my eye on the time. Matthew 17. And verse 1. Are we there? Matthew 17, verse 1. Just going to, I'm going to take the time because I want just to read these a few verses from this chapter. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Okay, this is the same John that wrote "Test Every Spirit." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Now get this picture. Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John, three of the disciples. So there are four of them. James, the brother of John. John and James. It's Peter, James, and John. James's brother. The brother of James.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay. And he led them up a high mountain by themselves. There's just four of them going up this mountain. Verse 2 says, and he was transfigured before them. He was transformed. He was changed. His appearance was changed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, three tents, three little places for you to rest in. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now this is Peter. He's seen on the mountain, he's seen this miraculous thing take place. He's seen Jesus transformed before his eyes. His face is shining like the sun. His clothes have become brilliant white and radiant. You know, and you can imagine this bright light on top of the mountain. And all of then he sees Moses and Elijah. And almost as if he doesn't really know what to say or what to do. He says, Lord, it's good that we're here. He says, if you like, Lord, I can make you three tents, three tabernacles, so you can rest and you can, I don't know what the purpose of these tabernacles were for. Shelter. Just shelter, yeah.
From the rain.
And while he was still speaking, verse 5. So Peter's in the middle of his conversation with Jesus. His conversation with Jesus, he's talking to Jesus and asking him, should we make these three tents? While he's still speaking, a cloud comes down on the mountain. And it overshadowed them. And then suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. tune in to him. And when the disciples heard it, who are the disciples here? Peter, James, and John. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Moses and Elijah had gone. And as they came down from the mountain, verse 9 tells us that Jesus commanded them, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." So, we've just read in those verses that Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Who?
Peter, James, and John.
Good. Peter, James, and John. Remember what John said? "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits that they are of God." Now, all three of them, Peter, James, and John, saw Jesus transfigured and changed in front of their eyes, so that his clothes became white and his face shone. All three of them saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. All three of them saw this cloud come down from heaven and overshadow them. And all three of them heard God speak from the cloud. And what did God say? He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear," or listen to him, hear him. And the disciples heard this voice. Who were they, Jess?
John, James,
and Peter. John, James, and Peter. Now, just in wrap up, because my time's almost up. We're going to see what Peter says. Remember, Peter was on the mountain with Jesus. Peter saw Moses and Elijah. So did John. Peter saw this cloud come down. Peter heard this voice that came from the cloud. Now, let's see what he says. Come with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, it's right at the end of the New Testament again. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 16. We're talking about hearing from God, or tuning into God. Peter says this: "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus." He says we didn't make up the story. This wasn't something that we thought up ourselves, which is what you hear a lot about today. The Bible's just made up so that it... No. "We did not follow cunningly devised fables." Because some have even dared to say that the Bible has been cunningly devised so that it fits all the prophecy, or it fits to make it Jesus. It's because it's the Word of God. That's why it fits. Not because it's been devised and it's been cleverly put together by man. He says, "We didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But," he says, "were eyewitnesses of his majesty." What is an eyewitness? Do you know, Gerald, an eyewitness?
He was there.
It's somebody, that saw everything that happened. So in a court of law, they call eyewitnesses, people to testify that this is what happened. If you see an accident, And there's two versions of the story. The police will want to talk to you so that they hear what you have to, because you saw it. You know what happened. Yesterday morning, I saw the man pull out of the junction in front of the other car. Now, fortunately, the other car didn't hit him, but it was close. But I saw it with my own eyes. And the first driver of the car, with his Maltese body language, throwing his arms in the air, as nothing has happened. What's wrong? And the other bloke behind him waving his fist and making hand signals. And I saw it. I was eyewitness. But he got away with it. So an eyewitness is someone that sees what happened. And Peter says, we didn't make up any stories about Jesus. We were eyewitnesses to these things. We spent 3 years living with him. We saw the miracles that he did. We heard what he said. And he's going to make a reference to the time on that mountain that we've just read about. He says, we didn't follow these cunningly devised fables. He says, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he, talking about Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We've just read that in Matthew, where the cloud came down on the mountain and the voice came from the cloud, God speaking, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Look what Peter says now in verse 18. He says, talking about him, John and James, he says, we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. We heard the voice. We heard him speak. We heard it with our own ears. It was loud. It was clear. It was almost like a trumpet bellowing out, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But then Peter goes on to say something else. Doris, can you read for me the next verse? Verse 19.
19. Why is it from it?
Verse 19 of what? Second Peter. Chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
We have also a most sure word of prophecy,
You do well.
They take head as into a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart.
Amen. What we have here, in the King James Version of the Bible, it says this. That's why I asked Doris to read it. It says, and we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He said, we heard the voice from the clouds. We heard God speak. He said, but we've got something that's more sure and more certain. A more sure word of prophecy. What is it? It is the word of God. Amen. The scriptures. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which, he says, you will do well to heed. In other words, you'll do very well to make sure you listen and pay attention and tune in to what it's saying. This more certain, this more sure, the scripture is more certain than the voice. Even though Peter says, we heard the voice, we were there on the mountain when Jesus received that testimony. He says, we heard it. We were eyewitnesses of it. Now, as an eyewitness, their word could be relied on. It could be counted on. But he says, we've got something more sure, more certain than our word, We've got more, something more sure and more certain than the words we heard. We have the word of God, the more sure word of prophecy. Because he goes on to say, knowing this in verse 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Amen.
For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we will do very well to listen to what God says in his word. We pay attention to it. We just tune in a little bit. Now, as we develop this series, we're going to see how we can tune in and how we can be spot on. But this word of God, this book, this Bible, this Holy Scripture is the first and most basic way that God will speak to us. So if we're not reading the word of God,
amen,
we're not listening to what he's saying. We cannot tune in unless we read the word of God. This is the most... Now, in closing, I just want to... Here's a little something for you to think about. The more you know of the book, talking about the Bible, the less you can be deceived. The less you know of the book, the more opportunities you have to be deceived. Because if you know what God's word says, you won't be fooled. You won't be tricked. You'll say, no, that's not right. That doesn't sound right to me. You'll have that, the Holy Ghost will witness to you, and you say, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't sound right, but I know God's word says this.
Right.
Now, in times past, God had to use visions. He had to use dreams. He had to speak to his people through angelic visitation because there was no written word. But now, we don't need the angelic visitations. We don't need the visions because we have God's word revealed to us here. From Genesis to Revelation. They have a different function. And that's where we'll leave it tonight because I've already overrun my time.
Amen. You have a question?
Yeah.